Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Through both the prosperous and challenging economic cycles of agriculture, Farm Credit will support rural Illinois today and tomorrow.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the third day of July 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana will join us to update conditions in their area. We'll also hear about yesterday's USDA report as it relates to corn and soybean condition across the whole of the United States. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Don Day from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Harry Cooney will be here. He's got some advice about booking diesel and propane needs for the fall. We'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. July corn up 5 3/4 today at $3.43 1/4. September 3.52 3/4, 5 3/4 higher. In December up 6 cents at $3.65. The March at $3.75 1/4 up 5 3/4. Next year's May up 5 1/2 cents at $3.82. And July, $3.88 1/2 up 5 1/2 cents. July soybeans down 5 1/4, $8.43 1/4 the settlement price. August at $8.48 1/4, 5 1/4 lower. September down 6 1/4 at $8.53, and November beans at $8.64 1/4, 5 1/4 lower. January futures down 4 3/4 at $8.74. The March contract at $8.80 1/4, 4 3/4 lower. Next year's July, 4 1/2 cents lower at $8.97. The bean oil 7 cents lower at $28.70. Bean meal at $3.28.60, down 90 cents. Wheat futures July soft red, up 10 3/4 at $4.91. December at $5.06 1/2, up 9 3/4. Hard red July at $4.63 3/4, up 14 1/4 cents. Live cattle futures down 12 1/2 cents at $106.77 1/2. October at $110.32 1/2, up 47 1/2. And the feeder cattle in the August at $152.65 finished 72 1/2 cents higher. September at $152.62 1/2, up 50 cents. And the lean hog futures in the July contract at $83.60 per 100 pounds, up 40 cents. August futures $1.27 1/2 higher at $75.65. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what some of the other markets are trading like at this hour. August crude oil at $74.15, about 21 cents a barrel higher. Ethanol futures are unchanged at $1.40 3/10. Heating oil at $2.16 1/10, that's about 0.6 cents higher. Gasoline up 0.2 cents at $2.10. And the natural gas for the day at $2.87 1/2, 0.1 3/10 higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 125 points higher at 24,161. The U.S. dollar up, or rather down, 0.434 at 94.345. And the gold futures for the day at $1,253.20, up $13.40. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening as it comes from the National Weather Service. Some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, mainly after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of about 73. A southeast wind at 5 to 7, chance of rainfall set at 30%. For tomorrow, July the 4th, Independence Day, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 1. Partly sunny with a high near 90 tomorrow. Heat index of about 103 in the area. South-southwest winds at 5 to 7. Again, a chance of rainfall set at 30%. Partly cloudy on Wednesday evening, a low of 74. South winds at 3 to 5. And then for Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, a high near 90. Light and variable winds turning to the west at 5 to 7 in the morning. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, a low of 71. West winds at 6. And Friday, a 30% chance of thunderstorms before 1, partly sunny, a high of 83. Northeast winds at 8 to 14, gusting to 20 miles an hour, mostly clear on Friday night and 60. Saturday, sunny and 81. Sunday, sunny and 85. We'll have more on the weather forecast with Don Day at the bottom of the half hour.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hey, good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, and hope everybody's getting ready for a very good 4th of July.
I know. I always look forward to Independence Day each and every year. It's a great day to celebrate the independence of the United States. And, of course, because we're here in America, being Americans. But first, we ought to talk.
It's also fun to play with fireworks.
That too. And you know what? Maybe that as boys, maybe that's the deal. It's just fun. I did like playing with fireworks when I was growing up.
Some of us never grow up.
Yeah, you still remember your hand tingling just a little bit when you didn't let go of the firecracker fast enough, would be my guess.
Oh, we like bigger ones than that.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. Okay, so speaking of, let's talk about the marketplace just a bit. On this day before the Independence holiday, the corn market, the bean market, showed us, I think, what it pretends to be a look at the tariff. So corn prices were up about a nickel, and soybean prices were down about a nickel as well. So that's kind of the view of where we think we are in the marketplace. And
yeah, Todd, I think that's very much, you know, sort of what's going on. China doesn't buy a lot of corn from us. China did buy a lot of beans from us, and it's going to be much more damaging to the bean market than it will be the corn market, because our regular customers are still out there. You know, if the trade wars don't continue on or build up to where we'd lose a lot of business from Mexico.
Yeah, so right now we're looking at a loss of, what, about a dollar and a half on soybeans from the top in the November contract to where we are today? Actually, more than that, I guess, huh?
No, probably closer to two.
Closer to $2.
Yeah, because we got up in there, 1060 down to 860. So basically, we've, you know, from the top to here, we're down about $2 in the beans.
Yeah, are we far enough down at this point, do you think?
Well, you know, you would think that we would be getting close to it because somewhere down the road, you know, there's only so many beans in the world, and we've seemed to have had a tight world stocks in them over the past years. We're having some problems in a couple of the countries in Europe and Australia and, you know, parts of Canada. They put in more or not as many acres of canola and something backwards. So, you know, as we look at it, the world has sort of been using up the beans. So just because we won't be shipping ours to China, that some of the places that South America ship to are going to have to come to someplace else to buy them if China buys all their beans. But, you know, it's going to be a little slower. It's going to be a little rougher, and we'll probably get a dollar less than we would have if we'd had China in the market with us.
Oftentimes we'll say a phrase like the basis will have to do the heavy lifting, and I'm wondering as it relates to basis and the premium that the basis is building in on Brazilian beans, if it's helping to make sure that the price in Chicago doesn't float too much lower.
Well, we sure hope that happens, because our farmers really just can't take that. I mean, we've already been cost us a little more to put the crop out this year. The fertilizer expense, the seed expense on some of the chemicals didn't go down. They actually went up a little bit. So along the way, you know, the American farmer doesn't need this bean price dropping any lower. What doesn't need dropping this low? He doesn't need dropping any lower, that's for sure.
When we get to Thursday evening, we'll know whether the import tariffs are going to be imposed in some way. I suppose the president may still have the opportunity to say we'll delay the imposition 30 to 60 days. But right at this point, it doesn't look like there's going to be any announcement, impending announcement of negotiations being effective between China and the United States. What impact would that have on Friday's trade?
Well, I think that basically is if we see that it's going through and there's nobody stepping in, it's probably going to be a little bit negative. I mean, you know, because we still have at least a little, we don't have a lot of hope or any people forecasting that that's going to happen to step in, but we still have a little bit of hope there thinking we could. So that way. But I think today was a little bit of the let's get out of some positions before Friday by some of the funds that way. You know, when we're looking at these beans, they're also the ratings of the third highest on record. Only 2014 and 1994 were higher at this time of the year on beans. So we've got a fairly good-looking crop coming on out there.
Yeah, so I was going to turn my attention to something a bit more positive, and actually that's the deal, is this crop looks really good, both the corn and the soybeans.
Yeah, I mean, the corn also up there, I think it's the third highest-rated crop also. You know, yes, we dropped 1% on Monday, 2% in the beans, but still the crop rating is tremendously high. And as I think Sonny Perdue has said, it's not all tariffs. It's that we got a heck of a crop out there, guys. With the degree-going days are out there, the units, the growing, the planting, the moisture's been there to come along. And I think that's the big difference, is that this heat, as terrible as it is, we've still had plenty of moisture in the ground. You know, as we listen to some of our big weathermen, the big difference is in their questioning, you know, how big a difference will it make if we stay above 70 degrees all through pollination at the nighttime for the lows not going below 70 degrees. And there's a lot of that forecast. You know, we've got a lot of improvements in the hybrids, but how much have they improved?
Indeed. Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Well, you know, I guess that we saw one of the big advisory firms go back to 50% hedged at an 865 stop on beans here this afternoon on the close. So some of the big advisory firms are saying they want to be covered going into the weekend.
Thank you so much, Wayne. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. A quick reminder that the markets are closed tomorrow for Independence Day, for July the 4th in the United States. They will not reopen until 8:30 a.m. Central Time on Thursday morning. However, we will air a closing market report tomorrow. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson will join us, and we'll hear from Gary Schnittke. Some of that work that you just heard Wayne and I talking about as it relates to the price of corn and soybeans pre and post tariff imposition, what that might mean for producers. And I can tell you that it isn't really very good if you just take a look at the numbers. While there's a $2 price drop in soybeans to this point, the price drop on income, take home that is, might be about two-thirds, according to Gary. So we'll talk about that with him, and the price of fall fertilizer and the price to produce corn in the United States as well. So be sure to tune in tomorrow or look us up online, willag.org, and we'll have that program posted there along with all of our other agricultural programming as well, right here on Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world at willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 17% of the corn crop had silked. That's well ahead of the 8% rolling five-year average. 55% of that crop is in good condition, 21% excellent. By comparison, those numbers were 55% good last year and only 13% excellent. 27% of the soybeans have bloomed, and that's way ahead of the 13% rolling five-year average. The crop is in 55% good condition, 16% excellent. Last year, those numbers were 54 and 10. Well, 51% of the wheat across the nation has been now harvested. 49% is the rolling five-year average. And the winter wheat condition is 28% good and just 9% excellent. That is well below the 39% and 9%, respectively, from last year. Now, here are the updates from Indiana, Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Strong storms brought damaging winds and heavy precipitation to much of Iowa, resulting in just 3.2 days suitable for fieldwork last week. Activities for the week included assessing crop damage and harvesting hay when the weather permitted. Wind and intermittent showers prohibited spraying activity to a strong degree. Heavy rainfall left many fields and pastures ponded. In south central Iowa, the subsoil moisture supply, rated adequate to the surplus, increased to 46%. The highest percentage in these categories since the week ending July 9, 2017. 7% of the corn crop is silked, a week ahead of both last year and the five-year average. 78% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. 21% of the soybean crop has bloomed, 4 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. 76% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. 93% of the oat crop is headed 2 days ahead of average. 25% of the oat crop was turning color a day ahead of the average. 80% of the oat crop was rated in good to excellent condition. The second cutting of alfalfa reached 24% complete, a day behind last year and 3 days ahead of the average. Frequent storms continue to make putting up hay a challenge this week. Hay condition rated 74% good to excellent. Pasture conditions rated 66% good to excellent. Heat and high humidity continue to stress livestock. Flooding limited access to pastures, and muddy conditions continue to make feedlot operations difficult. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Above normal temperatures continued in Illinois last week, ranging from 3 to 5 degrees above normal. Overall, the state average temperature last week was 3.2 degrees higher than average for this week. Rainfall was also above normal last week, averaging 1.26 inches across Illinois. Southern areas were generally wetter than the rest of the state, ranging from slightly above normal rainfall to more than 2 inches above normal for the week. Corn is now silking on 40% of acres in Illinois, up 38 points from 1 week ago and well ahead of the 5-year average of 11%. The condition of the corn crop was rated 4% very poor to poor, 12 fair, and 84% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. 44% of soybean acres are now blooming, compared to 14% 1 year ago and 11% normally. The condition of the soybean crop was rated 5% very poor to poor, 17 fair, and 78% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from last week. Wheat harvest in Illinois is now 83% complete. That compares to 88% 1 year ago and 67% normally. In other crops, the second cutting of alfalfa hay is now 44% complete, compared to 52% 1 year ago and also 52% for the 5-year average. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Precipitation was variable during the week, with 3.8 days suitable for field work recorded. Field activities included applying herbicide and fungicides and cutting hay, but saturated soils and standing water have limited field activities in some areas. Corn condition decreased slightly with a rating of 83% good to excellent. 13% of the soybean crop was in the blooming stage, that's 3 days ahead of last year and 2 days ahead of average. Soybean condition also decreased slightly from last week and rated 77% good to excellent. 98% of the spring wheat crop was jointed or beyond. Spring wheat headed reached 73%, that's 2 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. 6% of the crop was coloring. Spring wheat condition remained the same last week with 86% rated good to excellent. Oats were 95% at or beyond the jointing stage, that's 6 days ahead of average. Oats were 66% headed or beyond. Oat condition declined slightly from last week with 80% of the crop rated good to excellent. 97% of the barley crop was jointing or beyond, that's 2 days ahead of last year and 11 days ahead of average. Barley headed reached 70%, that's 2 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. 5% of the crop was coloring. Barley condition rated 85% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. With the Indiana Crop and Weather Report, warmer, drier weather last week helped dry fields after the previous week's above-average rainfall and accelerated crop progress. Corn silking and soybeans blooming were both well ahead of previous years, while winter wheat harvest had caught up to last year. The favorable conditions allowed farmers to make progress with hay cutting. Severe storms isolated to the southern districts resulted in reports of downed corn in some fields. High temperatures impacted pasture conditions in areas lacking rainfall, mainly the northern part of the state. Livestock were reported in good condition through midweek, but the high temperatures in the latter half of the week added stress. Other activities included hauling grain, mowing roadsides, straw baling, certifying acres at FSA, and preparing for county fairs. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 1st, 2018. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies as we do each and every Tuesday. Once a month, Harry Cooney joins us from GrowMark in Bloomington. He's now here. Good afternoon to you, Harry. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on this summer-like afternoon.
Hey, so I've got a couple of quick questions for you as it's related to agricultural energies. Crude oil, though, first, because the president has been saying OPEC's been holding back on us and he'd like a more fluid supply of crude oil. What are supplies like in the United States at this point?
Well, the supplies have been coming down. We still have adequate supplies of crude oil. We're not going to run out of crude oil, that's for sure. But supplies have come down, and at the delivery hub for the futures contract, in fact, they've fallen about half of where they were. We're only about half of where we were a year ago now. So that's in the deliverable location for the futures contract. So stocks have come down, but that's what the market's there for. The market's there to ration the supply and demand, and it'll get it all rationed out. But we've seen recently here the crude oil market firm up some, and that's one of the reasons for that. Now, there's been some outages up in Canada due to some production problems and things up there. Some other world events that's kind of caused some of the concern also. But in the past couple of weeks or so here, we've added nearly $10 onto the price of crude oil in somewhat of a pretty fast period of time.
That's pretty tough for the summer driving season. Do you expect that this price rally will continue?
Well, I do. I think that once you get into a trend, the trend tends to continue. Now, a trend, though, is defined by higher highs and higher lows. So there's going to be setbacks. There's going to be large setbacks. So that will continue over time here. And you talked about the driving season. The gasoline stocks, on the other hand, are more near the middle to the upper half of the range, as opposed to the crude oil stocks that are more on the lower end. And at the same time, diesel fuel stocks are kind of on the bottom of the barrel. Now, again, we won't run out of diesel fuel, but for any end users getting ready for a large harvest, let's say if they're on the agricultural side, we recommended here several weeks ago that they start getting filled up on their diesel fuel inventories, get those tanks on the upper end ahead of what looks to be a promising large crop.
And so you want them to fill those up, despite the fact we're kind of on the bottom side of that at this point, or at least the total number of gallons that are available. That would be a short supply. And I take it you don't have any expectation that supply is going to increase substantially so that we're just where we are.
That's right. The problem gets to be is you're heading into the period of the peak of the hurricane season here over the next 2 to 3 months. Now, you can never predict a hurricane. It's very difficult to. But any time when you're heading into that period and you have stocks on the lower end of the historical range, that kind of sets you up for the potential for some problems. It's kind of like a severe thunderstorm watch. Conditions are favorable for, some volatility in price, that's for sure.
How about for propane?
Well, propane, we recommended filling the inventories also here on the summer fill. I think we did that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and so we still believe in that. If your tanks are not on the upper end, talk to your local FS member cooperative about the summer fill programs they have out there and get those tanks filled also. So diesel fuel and propane, get on the upper end and get filled here in the summer.
Thanks so much for the advice. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Harry Cooney. He is with GrowMark in Bloomington. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Chocolate Wafer Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1806, Michael Keynes exhibited the first cultivated strawberry, combining size, flavor, and appearance at the Royal Horticultural Society. Europeans discovered wild strawberries in Virginia in 1588. Strawberries, by the way, are the only fruit with its seeds on the outside. In 1922, Fruit Garden and Home magazine was founded. 2 years later, the name of the publication was changed to the name it holds today, Better Homes and Garden. In 1924, Clarence Birdseye, with the financial backing of W. Hodges and others, founded the General Seafood Corporation. In 1929, foam rubber was developed at DuPont Laboratories in Birmingham. British scientist E.A. Murphy used a kitchen mixer to froth natural latex rubber into its foam counterpart. Murphy's colleagues were generally underwhelmed by the material, that is, until they sat on it. By the way, in the early 1950s, Farmall International 100 tractors had seats with tags saying genuine foam rubber to stimulate sales. Foam rubber was replaced by polyurethane in Farmall seats in 1956. And in 1985, the honeybee was designated as the official state insect of Missouri. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for more than 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is now here with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us. Can you tell me about the weather forecast? And we probably should start with the forecast for tomorrow, July the 4th. What do you expect across the United States?
Well, it's going to be what I'd call very typical. There's really nothing extraordinary coming with this 4th of July forecast. For really most of the United States, temperatures are going to be very warm to hot. We do see above normal temperatures, but we don't see the extreme heat that we had over the weekend and late last week. Actually, it's just going to be a very warm pattern, lots of sun, and there's going to be a little bit of thunderstorm activity thrown into the mix.
Does that extend out over the next 5 to 7 days as well?
We do. Now, we do see the trend that at least for some areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt does look a little bit drier, although we still saw tremendous rains in Iowa near that Des Moines area with those heavy thunderstorms, and we still see especially some parts of the northern plains getting impacted. But it does look drier for Missouri, Illinois, portions of Indiana. There is still rain in the forecast, but it doesn't look like it's going to be as heavy as what we've seen over the last few weeks.
And if you think about later into the month of July, what do you see?
Well, I see a pattern evolving that's not as hot, but at the same time, temperatures aren't going to be too far on the other side of normal either. They're looking to be pretty average, maybe slightly above, but we see the heat shifting more into the western and southwestern areas of the United States. Also, some areas of central Canada are going to be pretty warm as well, while temperatures go closer to normal for the eastern side and the central parts of the U.S.
If that heat is shifting to the western United States, does that mean there will be ring of fire showers across more of the Corn Belt?
Well, there you go. In fact, we will see that moisture coming up out of Old Mexico into the western United States, that ring of fire. It'll take a while to get established. We certainly see hints that after, you know, somewhere between the 10th and the 15th, and especially after that time frame, that rain getting established, especially affecting those northwestern Corn Belt areas.
Hey, thanks so much, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. The markets are closed tomorrow, Wednesday, for July the 4th in the United States. We'll return on Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. That is, the markets will open. However, the Closing Market Report will be here tomorrow for you. We'll talk with Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson, along with Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois. Gary and I will discuss a couple of the articles he's written for the Farm Doc Daily website, one of them looking at the cost of corn production in the United States, in particular fertilizer, which has come down in price over the last several years. That's probably going to change. We'll also talk about pre- and post-tariff imposition and what that means for total income, take home that is, on the farm in the U.S., Central Illinois. And we'll give you an idea of what that looks like right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media tomorrow. Find us online again at willag.org. Have a very great and good and safe 4th of July. I'm Todd Gleason.